May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart always be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. God's grace and mercy be with you today from our God and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me begin today by telling you a story that I heard as I was sailing up in Maine with one of my captains up there. The captains who sail the schooners, the windjammers, the traditional ships there along the rocky coast, are really competent sailors. They are well knowledgeable in the skills of navigation. They are good seamen, and they're used to days of dense fog. And that's really important because in my days sailing up there, we'd have sometimes 6-7 days in a row of fog that was just like thick smoke. You could hardly see the front of your own vessel, not to mention all the rest of the sea and the ships and the rock ledges that were around you. And although the captains up there are very competent in sailing in amongst places where there's basically no visibility, and they know the back bays like the back of their hands, nevertheless, sometimes it can happen even to the best of them that they should get lost. And I heard of one of the captains that I sailed with one day was making his way across, maybe it was Blue Hill Bay, Frenchman's Bay, one of the back bays of Maine. And he had a boatload full of passengers, 30-some with him, relying on him. He had this great ship with rock ledges all around. He had a crew depending on him, and he just became dumbfoundedly, consummately lost. He looked at his radar after, and he just couldn't make sense of it. He didn't know where on earth he was. And you can just imagine the panic that would begin to set in, especially knowing the ego that sometimes goes along with being a captain. Well, as the day wore on and the darkness was threatening to come and descend, in addition to the fog, he got pretty nervous. But it happened that as he was going along, a lobsterman came along doing his work, and this pastor, captain, if you will, had to really suck it up, so to speak. He had to face the ultimate in humiliation. Just imagine this. Here he is with this great old ship from 1930, rigging, tradition, reeking of it, coming out of the fog, and he has to, before his crew, before his passengers, and before this lobsterman, admit that he doesn't have one clue on earth where he is. And he hailed him and he said, "Where are we?" Well, fortunately, he met a competent, excellent, knowledgeable lobsterman, told him where he was, got his bearings, and finally, to his relief, was able to make his way on a straight direction to a happy anchorage for the night. Well, why do I share this story when we're talking about preachers today? I'm sharing this story because I think for all of us, life can be like this, sailing through fog. We may know where we're going today, but in a very short amount of time, you can face something in your life where you get turned around, you lose your bearings, you lose your direction, and all of a sudden you realize you are just plain lost. You don't know which way to go. And when that happens, you know when you're lost, there's this moment of realization where you realize you are now suddenly you don't know where you are. And then what happens? Fear fills the cavity of your mind. And bewilderment, astonishment, anxiety, angst well up within you. Yes, even panic. And so, such it is with us. Is there ever a time in your life's journey when you feel like this? You're going along and you just don't know where, which way to turn, and how to go into the future. Well, if that's your experience, and I'm sure it is, I have a good word for you right now. 1 Corinthians 14, you know what that says from Paul? He says, Our God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. This is the God whom you serve. He is the God of direction. He knows the way. He knows the way to lead you through. And as we trust in Him, He doesn't want you going through your life bewildered, confused. Oh no, how do I get through this? He wants you to sail and navigate as if it's a clear day, even though you can't see the future or what's around you, but through trust in Him. And He wants you to have all the confidence, peace, and security that attends seeing clearly. For we have this word written in Psalm 32. This is the very true word of God for you today. He says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That's your God. And so the next question is, how then does He do it? How does He instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go? Well, throughout history, God's way of doing this has always been to raise up shepherds whom He calls to lead His flock, to guide them in the ways of God. Prophets, pastors, preachers, teachers. And as Paul says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. And so God actually leads you by means of sending you guides along the way, sending you a lobsterman, if you will, when you are lost out in the back bays, to tell you, this is where you are. This is where you're going, and that's the direction you should head. And how do we get shepherds? How do we get pastors and preachers? People don't just appoint themselves to these offices, but it's Jesus who does this, right? Let's look at one example of someone who is called in the Bible. Let's look at Peter in John chapter 21, where it says this. This is after the resurrection. It says, when they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now this is after he was fishing all night, and he saw Jesus resurrected on the beach. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? In other words, more than the boats and the nets and the fishing and all this outdoor stuff. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said a second time, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, tend my sheep. A third time, do you love me? Yes, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep, says Jesus. He commissioned him. And this is the aim and should be the aim of every shepherd, of every preacher, of every pastor, to tend his flock, to feed them the word of God. And I can just let you know a little insight into your own pastor here. I really felt a similar thing to Peter here over a period of years. But I feel like Jesus came to me and said, do you love me more than these? You love the schooners, Greg. You love the anchors, the rigging, the tradition, the bays, the seagulls, and all the rest. But do you love me more than these? Greg, feed my sheep. And so, by God's grace, I heeded the call. And I just want you to know today that this is my aim. And everything that I do here, I want to feed you. I want to feed you God's word. And for that, I need your help. I need your prayers. I need you to work as a team with me in all these things, and you do that well. But we need this especially because, according to the scripture, there are also pastors who can lead astray. And so we need to stick together to the word of God. And so, as a pastor, I feel it my duty to warn you today about false guides that are out there in the world. For not every lobster man in the fog knows where he is. And if he's in the fog and he leads you into the fog, you're going to go into a place of deep darkness. Not every pastor, teacher, and guide that you meet is going to direct you in the right path. And we have to be careful today, especially because what kind of world do we live in? We got Discovery Station shows constantly telling you something about the Bible. You got TV evangelists. You got radio preachers, writers of books, Christian friends, makers of movies, the whole range and scope of the internet. You have an abundance of guides, but what you got to do, your job is to discern who's the right, true one and the expert, and who is false and is going to lead me astray. For as it says in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So do you want to have direction? Do you want to have a clear vision no matter what you may face in life? Our God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. And he can lead you straight and true through every dense fog as if you could see clearly on a clear day straight to the horizon. But he says, and as Jesus said, beware of false prophets, though, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Ravenous wolves. Think about that. Remember the story of Little Red Riding Hood? Oh, yeah. Little girl with a red cape goes wandering through the woods, meets a wolf, doesn't really realize he's dangerous. He runs on ahead, gobbles up the grandmother, gets in her clothes, in her house. And then she comes up and says, "My, what big feet you have, Grandma. My, what big eyes you have, Grandma. My, what big teeth you have, Grandma." And that's the end of her. So, Jesus says, beware of prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So, let me give you one example of this in my life that I've met. Remember, I was in the Episcopal Church growing up. This is the story of how I became a Lutheran. And I'm not speaking about the whole Episcopal Church here. I wouldn't do that. But of this one priest that we had in Maine, in my life, I was somewhat lost at times in my early 20s. Didn't really know the word very well and had gotten into a little bit of New Age stuff. But then when God saved me out of that, I was hypersensitive to it. And when I went to this Episcopal priest in Maine, who was a new priest at our church up there, I started to pick up in his sermons little red flags that started going boom, 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 watch out, watch out, watch out. So I decided to go in and talk to this father, this priest, and I tell you how slippery he was. I would ask him a question and he'd be off for a 15-minute spiel on something else. I'd ask him another question, a 15-minute spiel. It took me two times and an hour each interview to try to figure out who he was until I finally had to ask, "Listen, Father so-and-so, do you believe Christ died for your sins on the cross that were saved through him?" He said, all of a sudden his expression changed and he goes, "Oh, I've met your kind before. You're the kind who talk about sin and salvation only through faith in Christ. I've met your kind before. This whole substitutionary atonement thing? No, I don't believe in that at all." And all of a sudden, the leopard showed his spots. You know what? A leopard can't change his spots, but he can hide them pretty well. So we need to be very discerning. And I might have just as well have said right there, "Oh my, what big teeth you have, Grandma." What kind of Little Red Riding Hoods do we have out here in the congregation today? Are you wise and discerning? Are you blind like them? Well, if we're discerning, listen to what Jesus says. He says, let them alone. They're blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit. You come out of the fog on your great schooner, you ask a lobsterman who doesn't know where he is or where he's going, you're going to be just as lost as he is. And John, the apostle, said in his letter, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain that they all are not of us." And every prophet of the Old Testament, every priest, every writer in the New Testament warns the flock of these things. And so if I'm to be a good shepherd, I need to warn you of this too. Be careful. And what's it say in James and Jeremiah chapter 23, our Old Testament lesson today? Does God just overlook these shepherds? Don just read a few moments ago. He said, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture," says the Lord. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you've scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you've not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil doings," says the Lord. That should put some fear into the heart of your pastor. And then it says in verse 12, "Therefore their ways shall be to them like slippery paths in the darkness, into which they shall be driven and fall, for I will bring evil upon them in the year of their punishment," says the Lord. You know, being a pastor is not always easy. You got to be willing to take some heat sometimes. But if you just want to go and please everybody all the time, then you need to know it may be easy for you now, but just read what Jeremiah says of the end. And so far better to take heat now than to take heat later, if you know what I mean. So we got to be on guard, right? If you have TV evangelists, if you have Discovery Station telling you about the Bible, if you have friends, internet, movies, books that are all trying to guide you, you got to be discerning. And here's where your responsibility comes in. How do you do it? How do you tell a true lobsterman from just another drifting soul? Well, the one test we have already come across, Jesus says you'll know them by the fruits. Look at their life. Does it match up with what they're preaching? But then we can also see something else in our gospel lesson for today. Let's take a look at John chapter 7. Now here they're checking out Jesus to see whether he's true or false. It says in verse 14, "About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled at it, saying, 'How is it that this man has learning when he's never studied?' Jesus answered, 'My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. He who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and in him there is no falsehood.'" Amen for this good word. What's the first thing he teaches you then? He teaches you about the quest for glory. Who's your preacher glorifying? You know, every pulpiteer, everybody who steps into some place like this is seeking glory. And the question is, whose glory is he seeking? Is it his own glory? A pompous, self-aggrandizing, look at my message, my ideas? Or is he pointing to the cross, to Jesus, to glorify him? For that's what Paul says. He says in Galatians 6, "Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world was crucified to me and I to the world." And so, being up here in this pulpit, I want to tell you right now, it's not a popularity contest. And if at times I don't ruffle some feathers, then I might just be ruffled myself, or should be, that I might not be doing my job. And a pastor can't be up here pleasing others, tickling their ears. He's got to bring them the straight word of God. And we're going to be talking about some very touchy subjects over the next couple of weeks. Same-sex marriage, global warming, intelligent design versus evolution, Islam next week, and things like that, which I believe God has great words for us. But I got to let you know, at the same time, I can't just tickle ears. I've got to please not people, but God. And just to comfort you at the same time, I think God has a great and comforting word on all these subjects for us. So, the quest for glory. Whose glory is the pulpiteer seeking? But then, next, you also see something else here. Jesus says in verse 16, "My teaching's not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. So, how do you know when you are lost in the fog whether you're speaking with a true lobsterman or a drifting piece of driftwood? Well, Jesus says, if any man's will is to do his will, he shall know. And how do you know God's will? How do you know God's will? Huh? By his word, exactly. So if your preacher or guide, whoever it may be, is speaking in accordance with what is written here, you can be sure you have a true guide, a true lobsterman. In other words, or to put it another way, if you come out of the fog, you speak with someone, lobsterman, that is trade, and you take his word to a chart and you go, what you're saying there, sir, matches exactly what I got here in this sea chart, and I know you're telling me the truth. And friends, our chart, which God has given us, is his holy word. You got to know it, though. If you don't know your chart, you can't tell. And that's why my message to you today as your shepherd is this. Educate yourselves in the word. Know it. Don't just rely on Sundays for it. Come to Sundays and hear attentively, but search these things all week, because the more you know, the more you're going to have navigation in life as if on a clear day, and all the confidence and peace that attends it. For Psalm 119 says, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And my medication, you might say. So friends, shepherds, God gives them to you. They're not all false, but you got to look through and find which ones are true and which ones are not true. And the way to do this is check out their life, check out whose glory are they seeking? Are they preaching Jesus? And also, lastly here, are they speaking in accordance with what I know already to be God's will? And if so, then you should receive my word, not as Greg's word, but as God's. For this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. Yes, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, so how do you respond to this sermon? Let me give you a specific instruction, okay? Over the next 40 days in Lent, we have these MP3 Bibles. There's the one for the adults, one for kids. If you got grandkids, take one. Beginning Ash Wednesday, all the way through just before Easter, we'll listen to the Bible together as a congregation for 28 minutes a day. If you can't do that, do as much as you can. God's word never returns to him empty. And the more you know of this, the more you know of this, the more you know of this, the better off you're going to be. And so, lastly, where does this word, where does every shepherd lead you? He leads you not to himself or to his own glory, but to Jesus. And that's my word to you right now. Jesus, I tell you, is the light of the world. He died for you, rose again for you. Through faith in him, by his wonderful grace, he has forgiven you. And he has promised you, as he says here, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Thanks be to God. Amen.